Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, Dr. Brian Rieger was here a week or so ago, and we talked about sports concussion and brain donation. But once the mics were turned off, we realized there's a whole other subject to cover. We've asked him to return. Welcome back, Dr. Rieger.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Tricia.
Now, you're the rehabilitation sports concussion go-to guy, and we've talked several times before about concussion. We're actually going to broaden that conversation this morning. It turns out there have been several news stories recently about cheerleaders and injuries, and this really is a consideration for young women who are looking to go into cheerleading, but their families too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Cheerleading is a sport that kind of flies under the radar. Actually, in many cases, it's not officially even called a sport, although it's become much more athletic.
And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's really the biggest part of the problem.
So you've got these cheerleaders who are doing very athletic things, and we'll talk more about what those things are in just a moment. And because their activity is not considered a sport, they don't come under the umbrella of the rules that sports do.
Right. I'm an ad hoc member of the New York State Public High School Athletic Association Safety Committee and the concussion team. Mm-hmm. And part of our focus over the last couple of years has been to do concussion education statewide, going around and speaking to athletic directors, coaches, school nurses, athletic trainers. And that's been very important in terms of spreading the message about concussion. It's also given me an opportunity to hear from people across the state about what the concerns are that they have. And one issue that has repeatedly come up is what's going on with cheerleading.
Exactly.
The concern about safety, what's the New York State Public High School Athletic Association doing about it? Are they aware of the problem? And part of the issue there is that because it's not officially a sport in New York State, it doesn't fall directly under the jurisdiction of the New York State Public High School Athletic Association.
Well, you know, that's so interesting. And I will tell you that many moons ago when I was in high school and in college, I was a cheerleader. And we were out there practicing every day. And, you know, every once in a while somebody would turn an ankle or fall on their wrist or whatever it might be bruised. Certainly it seemed like we were bruised all the time. I think it was as much a sport as any other sport that was being played, but same thing, just as you say, it wasn't considered a sport. And there were a lot of, let's say, regulations and parameters we didn't have to meet because it wasn't a sport.
Yeah, and it's probably become more competitive, more athletic.
Oh, it has.
Since you were doing
Nobody
cheerleading.
Was throwing me in the air, I promise you that.
Right. And so if you've been to any high school athletic event and watched cheerleading, there's a good chance that you're seeing more throws, more risky maneuvers.
Well, let's talk about just how dangerous it is. You actually have some statistics, don't you?
Well, there was, because cheerleading is not generally recognized as a sport, there hasn't been the kind of record keeping of injury that you might find in other organized sports, such as football or soccer or baseball, things like that. Mm-hmm. But the National Center for Catastrophic Sports Injury Research in North Carolina recently, within the past several years, sort of had cheerleading come onto its radar screen because people were raising concerns about the safety. So they decided to look into it and do a study, and it was pretty dramatic. They, when I first heard this statistic, the way it was reported was that among female high school and college athletes, cheerleading by itself accounted for more catastrophic injuries than all other sports combined.
That is a frightening thing. I mean, catastrophic. So you're talking about deaths? Have there been deaths?
There have been fatalities and injuries that have resulted in permanent disability. Now, mind you, we should clarify that, relatively speaking, this is still a very small percentage of people and a rare event. But I can assure you that if you're the parent or the student who suffered that event, you really take up the cause of safety in cheerleading.
Yes, you do. If it's your child, it's 100% of the problem.
That's right.
Yes. So you say there have been two deaths there. And what about, I've got to think, paralysis?
Yes, because head and neck injury are among the the catastrophic injuries. Mm-hmm. So for example, here in Syracuse, many people may recall that there was a cheerleader in the dome who fell doing a routine and broke her neck. And I'm not exactly sure of the outcome, but I believe there was some permanent disability resulting from that.
Very frightening. All right, we have parents who may be listening or grandparents who may be listening of high school cheerleaders here in Central New York and perhaps college cheerleaders in Syracuse or other places. What do we tell them? Is this something they need to be concerned with? What should they be looking for?
Well, again, first of all, I guess I would say that sports are a good thing, and having your children active and involved with things like cheerleading is certainly something that overall I would encourage. However, because of the unique situation with cheerleading, that it is very athletic and becoming more competitive, but remains under-regulated, at least as in my opinion, there are probably some people who would dispute that. I think it's more important even than with other sports for parents to really ask questions when they're getting their children involved. What kind of training do the coaches have? What kind of safety regulations do they follow? You know, there are, I'm sure that there are guidelines put out by cheerleading associations for safety.
Okay.
But they're only as good as the extent to which they're implemented.
That's right.
Those are the kinds of questions that I would be asking, and really going to the athletic director or even the school board and asking questions about what policies are in place. How do they handle injuries? What mechanisms are in place to handle sports injuries? In my own school district, I'm a Jamesville DeWitt parent, and I've gotten involved with trying to increase attention to concussion within that district. And one of the things that came up as I was working with the district was that everyone kind of realized that the whole approach to managing a return to a sport after injury really needed to be reexamined. I think in light of the increased understanding about the risks of injury to high school athletes. So it wasn't just concussion, but across the board. And I think cheerleading would present the same opportunity to really look at the guidelines in your high school.
Well, I have to think that coaches of real sports, quote unquote, must have some kind of safety training that they must go through in order to be, what, certified as coaches, in order to understand the best way to coach their students. Are cheerleading coaches expected to do the same thing?
Well, the guidelines for that really are very local. So because cheerleading is not regulated in the same way that other sports are, the criteria for coaching, for the qualifications of the coach, including training in cheerleading and also training in things like safety and, you know, medical response to injury, these are things that would have to be set at the local level, at the school district level, or even at the school level, because there are no guidelines. So I don't want to say that there aren't guidelines, because in many cases I'm sure there are, and I'm sure there are a lot of schools who are doing an excellent job of regulating cheerleading with a recognition of the possibility for injury. But the variation in that is going to be much greater because there's no uniform guidelines at a higher level, such as the state level.
That makes perfect sense. All right, so we say that parents need to be asking questions, and certainly I think that it's a good responsibility for the student to be asking questions as well. Who do they be? Should they be talking to the coach and asking the coach these questions?
That certainly would be a good starting point.
Okay.
And then if they have additional questions or aren't satisfied with the answers, the next obvious place to go would be the athletic director, who's really responsible for overseeing sports.
Although, if the athletic director doesn't see cheerleading as a sport, that's its own problem, isn't it?
Right, and it's going to depend on the school district whether the cheerleading squad falls under the auspices of the athletic director or not.
So maybe that's the first thing parents could be working on, is moving cheerleading into that realm of athletics.
Certainly, that would be appropriate, because the athletic director is going to be familiar with the general guidelines for sports safety, is going to be making decisions about where a team would practice, and therefore what equipment needs to be available. So the athletic director is in a good position to be an advocate for safety in cheerleading, but they may not necessarily view that as their role, or it hasn't been defined that way.
Right, right. You know, I have to think, too, for the people who are coaching cheerleading, I would think that they would be very uncomfortable not knowing what regulations existed or not knowing what kinds of safety measures to be taking. I mean, they're putting themselves at risk each time they coach these kids that are cheerleaders and risking somebody getting hurt. So can they reach out to your organization to be looking for information?
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly think that the New York State Public High School Athletic Association would be glad to be a resource for people. And there's a safety committee, and each section in New York State has a safety committee representative.
All right.
So that would be a person who could definitely be a resource. And if they didn't have the answer when you contacted them, they would know how to find it.
They would.
That's part of their role.
Then how can people get in touch with your organization? Is there a website, or can we put a phone number on our website, or how would they do that?
Well, certainly to contact the New York State Public High School Athletic Association, you can go to their website, which is nysphsaa.org.
And we will put a link from our HealthLink on Air website.
Yes. Okay. And people can certainly also they can certainly contact me.
Okay.
And I would be glad to direct them in any way that I could.
Very good.
Again, although my expertise is focused on concussion, and certainly we see concussion in cheerleading, there's no doubt about that. There's a broader issue here of safety in cheerleading.
Absolutely.
And again, I want to say, Tricia, that I think a lot of schools are doing a great job, and there are probably a lot of cheerleading coaches who really are up on things. But there's a culture shift that has to happen from thinking about cheerleading as something that's off on the side and just shows up at halftime to something that we're paying more attention to safety.
Well, hopefully you have sparked that culture shift, and I thank you so much for coming by, Dr. Brian Rieger. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
And listeners, we need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.